Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, well, this morning is a kind of a oldie but a goodie. I've secretly been doing some messages from kind of out of the old playbook that I've just been wanting to revisit for us as a church, things that I've been, you know, really feeling like, man, I want to make sure we keep this in the DNA of our community, stuff that has helped form us as a church and things that have been really valuable to us along the way. And so I've been kind of selectively picking some of those messages. We're coming to an end on that. I've got a new series we'll start next year. But I've just been, you know, really kind of looking at what are some of the foundational things that have really helped form us as a church. And one of them that it's been a long time since we've revisited is the power of a focused life. And so this morning's message is entitled Power of a Focused Life. And for some of you, this is a familiar thought process, what we're going to look at, what we're going to talk about today. It's a familiar thought process, but it might be familiar and forgotten, that it was something that was meaningful in a past season, but it's not fresh for you these days. And then for some, this might be new territory, and I can just tell you this. What we're going to talk about this morning, this has been one of the most profound concepts. I don't mean the message. I mean the concept, the idea, has been one of the most profoundly impacting ideas for this community, as far as so many people's lives have been transformed by embracing what we're going to talk about this morning. So there's this little teaser of the value of it. What we're going to be talking about this morning really is the tragedy of living aimlessly. Just what happens when you live without an objective in mind, or when you live with a dumb objective. Either one would work. And the tragedy of that, of living aimless. Life is too short. We only get one life. You've only got one chance to invest yourself in whatever it is that you're going to invest yourself in. And when those years are gone, they're gone. And I just want to encourage us to not live aimlessly. So this morning, I'll start with 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through 27. Paul says this. Says, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Just think about a person just running around frantic and aimless and like, why? Like, what are you doing? It says, no, if I'm running, I'm running with a purpose, with intention, with a destination in mind. I'm running in such a way that I can pace myself so that I can get to where I'm going. I don't randomly change directions when things are thrown at me. It says, I don't run this race. He's talking about his walk in Christ, his Christian walk. He says, I don't run aimlessly. I've got an intention. I've got purpose. He says it similarly. He says, I do not fight like a man beating the air. I mean, who would go, you know, and just like pretend that they're in a fight with themselves and like you're throwing all the punches with all the energy? It's like, no, if you're in a fight, if you're in a boxing match, you got an opponent. He says, no, I'm in a fight and I know who I'm fighting and I know how I have to conduct myself to be able to win the match. It says, no, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. See, the real fight isn't against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against whoever, you know, whatever your weird neighbor is. Some of you guys got weird neighbors. I've met a couple of them. It's not about, you know, whoever in the natural. That's not the fight. The fight is actually a fight against ourselves. It's against our own desires that are contrary to the desires that we have when we're thinking clearly about what we want to do for Jesus. We're actually in a fight against ourselves. And Paul, recognizing this, he says, the way that I'm going to win this race is I'm going to beat my own body, my own flesh, into submission. I'm going to say, flesh, line up. I know you want that, but that's not really what's best for you. I know you want to spend your time this way, but that's not going to be effective. That's not going to be helpful to the goals that you've set for yourself. So Paul says, I have beat my body and I've made it my slave. He says, I have brought myself into subjection to the goals when I'm thinking clearly about what I want to do in life, who I want to be, what I want formed in me. He says, I have beat my body. I've made my life in alignment with the purposes that are actually what I really want out of this thing called life. We want to live with that sort of self-discipline. I think our default, I've been thinking a lot about defaults lately. It's come out in a lot of my messages, I'm sure, but it's something I've just been thinking about is like, so much of our life in Christ is, there's defaults that are still of the old man. There's defaults of before we came to Christ. There's just default thinking and default processes and default ways that we go about if we're not intentional. Intentionality would be the opposite of these defaults. And in so many areas of our life in Christ, we've got defaults. And unfortunately, running aimlessly is our default. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I think as a rule, we're going to look at the, you know, if we can get kind of a graph of our life and how of all of our life was spent, our time and our energy. If we're not careful, we're going to run aimlessly. We're just going to waste our life. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't have had a good time. It didn't mean that you wouldn't have gotten something done. But was it the something you actually wanted done? Or was it just random acts of life? We want to live with purpose, and that comes to having a life vision. If you don't have a vision for your life, you're just kind of like, well, I don't know, I gave my life to Jesus and I go to church. You want to do better than that. You don't want to just kind of like bebop through life, just kind of like just go wherever the river goes. I like the picture that Paul said, running aimlessly. Just that just is such a weird idea. Like if somebody goes on a run, hopefully they've thought through how they get back. You know, like they didn't just start running and then just got somewhere weird and like, you know, had to call Uber. Like that there was running with intentionality. But if we're not careful, I think we're going to look back on so many weeks of our life, so many months, because weeks turn into months and then into years. We're going to look back on so much of our time and see that we didn't spend it wisely. We just kind of wasted it. So I want to encourage you today, our focus is really about setting goals that you want to pursue. Let's put up that verse in 2 Timothy 1. A lot of times we talk about this verse, and rightly so, to like be courageous, to not be a scaredy cat. But that's not the entirety of what this verse communicates. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity. He did give us a different spirit. So let's talk about the spirit. We've given our life to Jesus. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And that means we've got access to stuff. The spirit that he did give us is a spirit of power, of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. That sounds just like Paul. I beat my body and make it my slave. I line up my life so that it actually will accomplish what it is that I really, in my heart of hearts, when I'm sitting before the Lord, what do I want my life to be about? That self-discipline, the Spirit of God that's been put inside of us, is a spirit of self-discipline that gives us the power to overcome our desires. And they don't have to be carnal. Some of them just can be dumb or boredom or wastes. We have been given a spirit of self-discipline so that we can actually live with purpose. I want to encourage us today to set spiritual goals, to set goals and to pursue them. You know, something that we see just in professionals, like whatever, whether it's a professional athlete or it's an entrepreneur that's kind of risen, you know, to the top or whatever and started to chain that thing out, whatever it is. We've seen all sorts of examples of the power of dedication. When someone's just focused, I mean, when they put their mind to something, the Lord actually gave us, because we were created in his image, he gave us significant power to just focus on stuff. And if we will put our time and attention, if we will focus in on some area, as opposed to living aimlessly, like, well, whatever, what are you focused on in life? Whatever happens today, that's going to be an awful, you will not be happy with your results at the end of that. You will have yourself quite a midlife crisis when the time comes. Like, you will have not accomplished or amounted to anything. But the Lord has given us power to be able to focus. And so we've got countless examples of professional athletes. It's like, they just put their mind to it. It's like, I'm going to be the best athlete out there. And they work their butts off. And as a result of that, they're awesome. Similarly, in a professional field, you got somebody that's like, man, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to take all the, you know, accreditations. I'm going to, you know, go through all the, you know, I'm going to read all the books. I'm going to learn from everybody. I'm going to put my time and attention to this. I'm going to make, you know, my job, both my job and my hobby. And people that just put like crazy dedication into something and it flourishes. Because the Lord says all hard work brings a profit. And that's just a true principle on earth. So we understand that principle, but I'm not sure that we've thought about it recently, or maybe not all of us, thought about it recently related to our spiritual goals. Like, what is it that we want to accomplish in this life in Jesus? What are we aiming for? And for some of you this morning, you might be going, I don't know that I ever really thought about it. I mean, I knew I wanted to grow. Like, I wanted to keep growing in my faith, but I don't know that I really had goals. I want to encourage you, get some goals. Like, spend some time writing down some goals. It's helpful that here we are at the end of the year. It's kind of a fairly normal thing to be thinking about New Year's resolutions and those kinds of things. Throw that in this conversation if you want. But I want to encourage you, after this message today, at some point in the next couple of days, because if you wait a week, you'll forget and this won't have any power anymore. But in the next couple of days, spend some time thinking about, like, what do I want my goals to be? And we'll talk a little bit about those, kind of give a little bit more framework for that. So hopefully that'll be an easier start for you here in this message. But keep moving. So if the objective today is identify, we don't want to live aimless. We want to live with purpose, with intentionality. I want to give us just a few parameters as starting points. It can get a lot more specific than this, but I want to just get us kind of shifted thinking in a direction, okay? A reminder of who we are in Christ. When we gave our lives to the Lord, our life changed. The goals changed. The purpose changed. You're no longer what you were. You're no longer supposed to be about what you were about. Things are different. So let's just kind of, if we're going for like, well, we're going for goals, what should some of those goals be, or what are some of the kind of the broad themes of those goals? To start with, we were made to pursue God. So if your life goals don't include a significant, I'm on planet Earth to pursue God, you're doing it wrong. Like, we want to be thinking about our life goals. Like, what do you want to accomplish in life? I want to pursue God. I'm just reminded, it's a verse we look at all the time, but it's never going to get old. It is so important. Matthew 22:37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your mind. This is like, you want to pursue God. Life goals. What would it look like to build a life that actually pursues God? Next, we were made to progress in the faith. Like, don't just come to Jesus and then take a nap until you die. Like, we were actually made to make progress. Like, we're supposed to keep pushing forward. Let's put that verse, 2 Peter 1:5-8 up there. As believers, you want part of your life goal to be, I want to keep making progress. I want to keep moving forward. I don't want to camp out. I don't want to get, you know, like lazy or like crusty. I want to keep moving forward. 1 Peter 1:5-8. For this reason, make every effort. Make every effort. That sounds like self-discipline again. That sounds like I beat my body and make it my slave. Make every effort sounds like I've got a part in this. Make every effort to add to your faith. And then he lists some stuff. He says, add to your faith. Make every effort. Be intentional. Don't live aimless. Make every effort to add to your faith. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of God. They'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. But if you don't, you will be ineffective and unproductive. You'll live aimless. Like, as part of our life goal, if we're thinking about, okay, I don't want to live aimless, you've got to actually be thinking about progressing in the faith. Like, I want to keep moving forward. I don't want to get stuck. I don't want to stay at kindergarten level understanding of who Jesus is. Kindergarten level of understanding of what it means to live godly. Kindergarten, like, keep progressing. This is part of, like, life goals. a third point that I'm making, because I'm just trying to get us kind of thinking in a direction before we get into the details. Reminder of who we are in Christ. You were made to pursue God. You're made to progress in the faith. And third thing I'll say is you were made to live wholeheartedly. You were made to live wholeheartedly. Let's put that verse up, Colossians 3. It's another verse we've looked at recently, but I just want to get this stuff in us. Reminder, fresh reminder this morning. You were made to live wholeheartedly. You were not made to live half-heartedly, bored, unengaged, just kind of floating through life. You know, think about the way that God put all that he had into creation. Like when it was creation time, he was like thinking himself some really focused thoughts. And boom, these things started to appear. He was investing himself. You were created in his image. You were created to live wholeheartedly. It's part of the reason we feel apathetic. We feel bored when we're not giving ourselves to something. You were created to give yourselves to stuff. And so, you know, and there's, in the lost world, it's like people will give themselves in one crazy way and then not find fulfillment. And then they'll give themselves fully in a different way and not find fulfillment. And sometimes that's how people come to Christ. They find the end of themselves. They're like, listen, I gave everything I had to the world and it wasn't working. You were created to live wholeheartedly for Jesus. But I just want to read this verse and give us a little bit of perspective. Whatever you do stuff. You wake up and you got stuff to do. Whatever you do, work. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. The stuff that you do, the stuff that you give your attention to, the stuff that you give your time and your bandwidth to, work at it with all your heart. You were created that way. When you do that, there's a sense of fulfillment that's actually the Holy Spirit bearing witness to this is why you were created. This is part of the created order. You were created to work at stuff wholeheartedly. And when you're kind of just giving it, you know, half your effort, it looks bad on you and you kind of feel like you gave half your effort. It doesn't feel fulfilling, right? That's because you're created to live wholeheartedly. So I just want us to kind of have a little bit of these reminders, some kind of big picture stuff. You were created to live wholeheartedly. You were created to progress in your faith. And you were created to pursue God like, whoa, like to actually run after Jesus. You were created for these things. But if you're going to get there, it's going to take focus. This is not going to just happen. This is not default. The default is the aimless. The default is ineffective. Let's put up Titus 2. Titus 2, I think, gives us a little bit of helping us to see what living disciplined lives looks like. The grace of God. This is both the person of Jesus, he is the grace of God, and also the reality of what happens when the Holy Spirit lives in us is we have the grace of God resting on us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, power of self-control, remember, or the spirit of self-control. We just read it out of Timothy. We have the grace of God living in us. The rules change. And so he says this, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, no to worldly passions, and the grace of God teaches us to live self-controlled, to live upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the appearing of Jesus. We are waiting for Jesus, but in this present age, we've been given power to live self-controlled. The grace of God, I want you to think about that for a second. The grace of God in your life is to help you live self-controlled so that you can actually chase Jesus the way in your most spiritual moment, you imagining yourself chasing Jesus. You actually have been given power to do that. It's part of the grace package of the Holy Spirit indwelling within us is that we would actually have power to live self-controlled lives. I mean, we're looking at all these verses that are talking about self-control, and there's a couple more that we'll look at. This is actually a real part of the story. This is a real part of Christianity. It's a real part of the narrative of what it looks like to live a life for Christ, of what we're supposed to be doing down here. The opposite of self-control is willy-nilly, aimless, come what may. Just, I woke up today, whatever today brings me, that's what I'll do. Whatever I think about today, that's what I think about. Whatever, you know, I get invited to, that's where I go. Instead of having self-control, which would be the exact opposite, self-control is like, no, I've got some things I want to be real about my life. I've got some things that I want to be real about what's happening in my inner man. There are some things that are important to me, and so I'm going to say no to certain things because I want the opposite of what that thing will give me, you know? I mean, and I'm going to say yes to certain things, maybe some certain things that other people aren't saying yes to, but I'm going to say yes to them because of what they'll produce in me. I want to live a self-controlled life so that I might actually become what it is that I'm believing and thinking that I'm becoming. You know, just a quick little litmus test on this. One of the things that's helpful about ending a year is you've got a pretty good time marker. The things that you want true about you in your walk with God. Did you make progress in 2024? Did you make unprogress in 2024? Did you just kind of stall out? Like, it's helpful because the challenge really is you want to get your litmus test down to like month and then week and then day. You don't want to be going in years because if you're not paying attention but once a year, you've lost 365. It's gone, poof. But it does kind of help you because here we are, and whether you did good this last 365 or bad, it is a helpful metric to look at and go, I didn't really grow in Christ. I don't really think I love God more than I did a year ago. I didn't really live wholeheartedly for anything related to the kingdom. It's like, oh gosh, well those are, you want to be confronted with that. Here's what it comes down to. Our most valuable resource. And it's also our most limited. It's not money, it's time. You can always get more money somewhere, somehow. Rob a bank. I mean, don't rob a bank, probably. But you can always go get more money. You can't get more time. We're all given the same 168 hours a week. That's all there is. Nobody can figure out how to multiply that unless you figured out time travel, and if you have a side conversation with me later. 168 hours a week, that's what you got. And it's the same 168 for the person that seems to really have it all together and is making steps forward, and the person that feels aimless. It's the same 168 hours a week. It's the same. It's about investing those 168 hours. It's about thinking, what do I want those hours to yield me? How do I want to use those hours? It's your most precious resource. And it's the most limited because it's the set resource for all humanity. Everything else, there's variables in our resources. Time is the same. And it's your most valuable because you can't get it back. There's no getting it back. When that time is gone, whether it's a week, a moment, a year, it's gone. We can learn lessons from it. That's a way that it can continue to have value and instruct us. But when that time is gone, it is gone. And we can't get it back. Time flies, too. It's crazy. I was thinking about something earlier this morning. I was like, man, it feels like just a few months ago. I was like, that was 2 years ago in January. 2 years ago. I was like, I just lost 2 years. 2 years is gone. I was like, man, time flies. It is gone so quickly. Which is why it's so important that we've got a plan for it, that we're utilizing time wisely. We're not just existing. We're not just going from one moment to the next or one season of life to the next, but to be intentional. This time I have now, what am I doing with it? Let's put up Ephesians 5. We've got to learn how to manage our time. We've got to. This is a rich passage. Ephesians 5, 14 through 17. The Lord says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See that you walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise. What's he talking about? What's the focus here? He says, awake, you who sleep. He's talking to, like, the believer that's not really engaging their life in Christ. Not really. Awake. Rise from the dead. And if you do, if you will choose to make that decision, if you'll make that conscious shift, then Christ will shine on you and you'll find that fresh grace again. But you do have to make a decision. You know, grace without engagement is unrealized. I mean, you've got to actually touch the grace that's been given. And so Paul's saying, awake, wake up. And if you will, Christ will shine on you. Well, what does it look like? See that you walk wisely. Walk wisely, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. Oh, man, this is Paul going for the jugular. He's like, listen, don't waste your life. Redeem the time. Ephesus, by the way, was one of the more spiritual communities. Ephesus was going for it. Okay, there was a place of a great revival in that generation. And Paul is telling the Ephesians, he's saying, redeem the time, because all of us have got time. All of us have got that same 168 hours. And if you're not careful, it won't be redeemed. It'll be wasted. It'll be aimlessly used. And you'll find yourself in a river moving forward, and there'll be certain moments where you look back and you go, another year gone. Another year gone. Redeem that time. Engage intentionality and redeem the time. Don't let it pass you by. Focus. Don't be unwise, but understand what the Lord's will is. See, this whole redeeming the time, it's not have more fun. You know, it's not enjoy more hobbies. It's redeem the time. Know what the Lord's will is and make your life, give a sober thought to making your life increasingly more about the Lord's will in your life. Don't waste the time. Live wise. Don't be unwise. See how many times he says it? Walk wisely, not as a fool. Don't be unwise. Understand the Lord's will. I mean, he's going after it because the default, again, it's stinky, but it's real. The default is that we're foolish. The default is we don't think about time and we just let it pass. We don't have a plan. We're just letting it pass. We're just going. And some have made wise decisions and kind of hemmed yourselves in. It's like, if you hang out with people that love Jesus, you'll probably choose things that are smarter than if you hang out with people all the time that don't love Jesus. That was a good hemming in. That's a good starting point. It's like, okay, I'm reading my Bible because I really want to have some idea of, you know, like who God is. I want to make sure I've got a diet of like intake of what is true. That's good. You're probably going to make some wiser decisions. But I'm talking about another level. I'm talking about figure out what you want and go after it. Be intentional. Do not live as unwise. Redeem the times. You know, I think the passage, I don't know, it totally doesn't have anything to do with this subject, but for some reason it was just like erupting in me as I was getting ready for this message, is Joshua 24:15. This kind of ardent, this ornery, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going for it. Look at what Joshua says. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just think it's this moment, it's this decision that you've got to make. I'm not going to let time pass me by. As for me and mine, we're doing it different. We're going to go for it. We're going to think about the purposes that God has for our lives. I'm going to be about this. I'm just making the decision kind of with a little bit of that just ardent. Like, ugh. As for me, I'm going to do this thing. Well, what are we talking about? Identify what really matters to you. Spend some time praying through your priorities. One of the things that's all too true, if you value it, you will make time for it. Where our time goes says a lot about what we really want. Not about what we say we want, about what we really want. Life is too busy not to schedule. It's too busy. There's too much going on. I want to give you a statement that I hope will stick with you. I really hope this one will kind of like bother you a little bit. This battle that we're talking about, it's lost or won with a schedule. The battle we're talking about, the power of a focused life, not living aimless, redeeming the time, it is lost or won with your schedule. What have you worked into your schedule? Oh, I never even thought about my schedule. I promise you, you're living aimless. I promise. If you haven't thought about it, I promise you're living aimless. So let that bother you a little bit. Go, okay, don't love that. This reality, the battle is lost or won with a schedule. You've got 168 hours a week. What are you spending hours doing? Because the time is ticking. You're either investing those hours into things that are on purpose, that are for your better, or you're just kind of existing and you're letting time pass. Schedule your time. Build into your schedule the things that matter to you. Actually put the time and the energy into developing a schedule. And that's your homework assignment at the end of this. At the end of the message, I really want for everybody to spend some time this next week looking at your schedule. Does it align? Does it reflect the things that you say you want to be about? I mean, it's so easy. This one is like the easiest one to say one thing and live completely different. To be the son that said yes but lives no. It's so easy because we have an inflated version of our spirituality. We think we're way more spiritual than we really are. Your schedule will tell you how spiritual you are. Like, where are you putting your time and your energy and your investment? How intentional are you, or are you just existing? Another 168 passed. Was it with intention, or did it just kind of pass you by? I'm telling you, if you will take this seriously, this will transform your life. This will give you so much clarity about why you're doing what you're doing, about how you're spending your time. I mean, when I say schedule, I mean, how many hours do you need to sleep? Figure out that number and don't put more on the list. How many hours do you need to sleep? That's your starting point, because unfortunately you're stuck. You got to recharge the battery. Okay? How many hours do you need to sleep? Now, how many hours are left in the week? And then each day, how many hours a day do you really want to be spending time with Jesus in the Word? How many hours a day or a week do you want to be spending serving certain purposes? How many hours in a week do you want to be studying the Word so that you grow in the knowledge of God? How many hours a week do you want to be in prayer, that you want to be thinking about that? Have you got a fasting schedule? Is fasting in the regimen at all, anywhere? Because fasting is a normal part of what saved people do. I mean, it might seem hyper-spiritual, but that's because our culture, even our Christian culture, is so unspiritual. It's very biblical. See, we take our orders from the Bible, not from what's happening around us in churches or trends. Like, there have been plenty of times that the church has gotten it really wrong. See the Crusades, okay? It's like, there have been plenty of times that, like, the church was way off. We're not taking our cues from the church. We're taking our cues from the Word of God. The Word lays out things that are supposed to be part of our diet, part of our life. I'm going to ask you a few questions. I want you to kind of think for a moment. If you want to close your eyes, if that helps, great. I'm going to go slow because I want you to be able to think about it in relationship to developing a life vision. What's your primary purpose in this life? Why are you here? What is your primary purpose? If you don't know the answer to that, you want to spend some time thinking about that one. What are some secondary purposes that you sense about your life? What are some secondary things that you're like, I know this is what God has for me. I know it. I know I'm supposed to be thinking about this. I know I'm supposed to be giving time. What are some secondary purposes about your life? What do you want to be known for? That might seem a little self-serving, but probably everybody has an answer to the question, even if we don't want to admit that we do. But that answer actually plays significantly into what you should be putting your time into. Or you don't like the answer you gave yourself, and now it's time to amend the question or the answer to the question. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be remembered by? A little different. Like when people say your name, What do you hope they're thinking? What do you want your life to really be about? Develop a life vision around these things. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 gives us our onus again. It's our responsibility. It's Paul talking about this subject, his life, the fullness of what his life is going to be. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. Straining and pressing. You're not going to get there without straining and pressing. It's not going to come easy. There is going to be resistance. There's going to be difficulties. Just in the whole year assessment thing, and it's like, okay, I said, hey, the last 365 is over. Here we are. It's December again. And you're thinking about the last year. And it's like, I didn't make the progress in the areas that I really want now. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to come up with like some objectives, some measurable goals that I want to aim for. If you had no measurable goals, you hit 0% of your target. If now you have measurable goals and you only hit 30%, you kicked butt, man. That's a 30% increase. And then next year, maybe you make a little bit more effort. That reaching, I mean, the language is work, strain, press, beat my body. It's like, you're not getting out of this thing alive. This is going to be challenging. But it's worth it. You've got one life to live, and life is made of seconds and hours and days, etc. You just, it's passing. What do you want to do with your life? I want to encourage you to write down a mission statement, a vision statement about your life. And don't write stuff that's not real. Catch yourself. Like, it doesn't do you any good to make up fluff. Like, what do you really want? It's helpful because if you can write a vision statement about your life, you can look at that and go, these decisions I'm making right now are not in agreement at all with my mission statement. Like, I am making some wild choices right now, at least wild by comparison to the statement I've got about who I want to be, about what I want to become, about how I want to progress in my faith. I'm making all sorts of decisions that are out of alignment. That's good. That is good conviction. That is helpful. That's like looking in a mirror and seeing what's true. Put up that verse in James if we can, James 1, 22 through 24. Out of this message today, don't just listen to this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. It's really that easy. It's just that easy to have just a vapor, a wisp. That we could take this message this morning and actually put feet to it. Or it could just be, I heard words, it sounded right, but I'm really not going to do anything with it. It's like this picture, hearing the word and doing nothing with it. I want to encourage you, slow down this week. I want to encourage you to actually like slow down and think through what you want. You know, God will bless your effort. If you'll slow down, look at Proverbs 16:3. This verse works 1,000 times in 1,000 circumstances, but it really does right now. Here's the thing. Some of you right now are going, I kind of feel like my life is a little so much out of control. I don't see how I'm going to get like the reins on this thing. I feel like I'm so far away from having a plan that it seems impossible to have a plan. Listen, if you will engage the Lord about this and you'll say, God, give me self-control. Give me discipline. Give me the discipline first to start and think about what I want out of life. What I really want out of life, what I really want out of my walk in Christ. Second, what do I like need to do? What are the steps that I need to take? What are the practical points? If I say I want this, for instance, I want to grow in intimacy in my relationship with Jesus. I want to grow deeper in love, in friendship, and affection. Well, now you need an action plan to get there. So the second tier of it is then, what's it going to look like for me to actually take real steps? Spending time in worship that isn't already on your schedule. Spending time maybe looking at verses that talk about what that relationship looks like, and then spending time praying and asking God to like help you do that. It's making a plan. So the first is figure out, what do you want? The second is actually make a plan. And then the third is put it in your schedule. It's not just that these things would be helpful. It's I do these things on Tuesday at 8 a.m. It's not just that I want to grow and I want to read the Bible more. I'm going to start reading the Bible an hour every day. I don't leave the house till I read the Bible for an hour because my schedule says get up, take shower, make breakfast, read Bible, then go to work. Because I put it in my schedule. Like, you can actually schedule yourself into this thing. And if you don't, you're going to live aimless. You will never hit any of the goals you don't set. But if you'll commit, if you'll make a plan, like, Lord, I want to get hold of my life. I don't want to live aimless. And I'm telling you, aimless is default. Aimless is... it is haunting. It is creeping up on all of us, even those of us that know this message and have done it well in times past. Aimlessness is creeping. But if we will commit to the Lord this plan and go, God, help me. The word says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You can have success in this. Last verse I'm going to give you, then we'll wrap up. This morning's message would apply to every area of life if you wanted it to. To your business desires, to your family objectives. It would apply to all that. It would, and probably should. But I really want you to hear me this morning. None of it matters if you're walking Christ. Is it moving forward? None of it matters. 1 Timothy 4:8. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Godliness. We want our first priority to be pursuing God, to be progressing in the faith, to be living wholeheartedly, to be giving ourselves. And then because that's who we were created to be, we will have strength that will then carry over into how do I do my business professional life better? How do I do my family life better? You can't make either of those things an idol, or Jesus will be second, third, or tenth on your list. You can't make your occupation or your family your idol. Jesus is first. Make a goal to grow, to pursue God, and you will. So here's your homework assignment. Identify what you want. And I really strongly want to encourage you, if you hear anything as the therefore about this message, because said a lot of stuff, but if you're looking at like, what's the therefore? Develop a schedule of how you spend the 168 hours of your week. You have 168 hours. How many of them do you spend sleeping, eating, playing? Playing is good. But schedule how much time you're going to do that so that your whole life isn't play. Like, schedule when you're at work. You got to work. But schedule what you're going to do when you're in the car. Don't just be in the car. Be in the car on purpose. What are you doing? Schedule your time. You've got 168 hours, and they're just going quick because we don't have a plan of how to order those 168 hours. So that's what I want to give you this morning. Father, I want to ask you in Jesus' name.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.